Sweet. Hold on. Jeez, here we go.
Podcasting from the Sportique Studios, where the scariest part of October is playing the fucking Chiefs twice. This is the South Stands Denver Fancast. I'm Colin Daniels with producer Scott Stafford from the Killing You With Truth podcast, Denver legend Darren D-Man McKee.
What's happening, boys? Are you kidding me?
Yeah!
That's how it starts! Are you kidding me?
Yes! Oh, he's bringing it back! Yeah!
Who is that? Who is that? I love that!
Sword.
Sword?
Sword. They're from Austin, Texas.
Quite a very Black Sabbath sort of
very Black
influence.
Sabbath, exactly.
That's who I thought it was initially, but love it.
D-Mac.
Boys, it's so good to see you guys.
Darren McKee.
Man, it's been a minute.
It has been a long time since you've been here.
Why haven't you asked me to come here for the past, like, decade?
Well, we weren't asking ourselves to come here for a while.
We took a bit of a hiatus. Yeah. I mean, as I know, you know, most of you guys that are working in media, you just kept going through COVID. We kind of had to stay away. And it kind of killed the momentum. I always say Colin alienated half of our fan base with late night tweets that he did. Yes, I know, it's shocking.
Come on.
So it's true. So we took a bit of a break, but we're back.
I love you guys, by the way.
Well, thanks.
You guys are so fun because you like started off hating me.
Yes.
And then you like me. And then you just didn't talk to me for like a decade.
Well,
but,
no. We just,
I think you still like me.
I said, you know, once we get back on this, we had a list of people and you were one of them. So
now I'm doing exactly what you guys figured out like 15 years ago, whatever it was.
Exactly. So. And I wanted to say, we don't usually let podcasters on, but we made an exception for you tonight. So.
We had a blank space, baby, and we wrote your name.
So, hey, now you bring that up. You kind of turned into this kind of beloved figure. Like I remember people used to really hate you.
I know.
And I think they kind of like got on board with
you. Why do you think people hated me initially?
Because when we had like Albright in here, it was kind of the same thing. It was like when somebody thinks they know more than you,
mm-hmm.
and they're listening to you every day. They go, God, I hate this guy. I know more than he does. And I think that's the thing is they get this idea in their head that they know more than you. But I think over time, I think you wore them down and I think they realize that you do know more than they
do. It's so tough at the very beginning because really, seriously, what do you know? And the answer really is not much more than anybody else at the beginning.
Sure.
And then you've just got, in my opinion, you've got to use what you're lucky to be granted, which is access, in order to do the real work to figure out so whatever you say actually does mean something because you do eventually know what you're talking about.
But doesn't the access limit you in terms of what you can say?
Depends. Depends who you work for. Depends what is really going on. And it depends how you want to present it too. Like, are you just out there to be antagonistic and be a rabble rouser? Are you out there to kill you with truth?
Did you put your access in jeopardy?
I've had warnings about things that, you know, hey, we'd rather you not do this, you not do that. But it's never been anything really major. The funniest one really is actually the Rockies, of all things. So it's after all these years, the one time that I was denied a credential was because of the Rockies. Can you believe that, of all teams? And
like,
the story.
What did they say to you?
The story is hysterical because the Rockies used to have the greatest press box in Major League Baseball. It was amazing because it stretched out kind of the whole behind home plate. They've transformed three quarters of it into a luxury sort of suite. So now the press box sucks because you're on top of each other. But it used to be amazing.
It was big.
So one time I'm sitting there. It's big. Dick Enberg was sitting right next to me. And Dick Enberg was a hero of mine.
Yeah.
And it was playing the Padres. And there were only two games left in the season. I think he was doing football games and baseball kind of at the same time. So I had a BlackBerry. And I snapped a photo just real quiet, like, boom, Dick Enberg sitting next to me. How cool, right? Then he went to the bathroom. So I clicked a picture of an empty seat. Dick Enberg just went to the bathroom. Because I thought that was funny. And then I went to do the show because I was doing with Alfred from 4 to 7. So I could only stay for like 2 or 3 innings. Well, by the time I got back to the studio, the Rockies were so pissed that I had tweeted out something about Dick Enberg. They revoked my pass for the final game of the season. I had a season pass. So for the final game of the season. So as a goof, I just went to the game and bought a $5 Rock Pile ticket or whatever and just went to the game and covered the game anyways. But that was a million years ago.
What, they think a guy named Dick doesn't pee-pee?
I don't know. They just didn't have... Now, listen, this is like 3 administrations ago with PR and everything. And, you know, I got no problems with the Rockies now. And that was just kind of a funny thing. But that a long story short, that was the one time.
We're going to slag the Rockies later. We got plenty of time to rip on them. Speaking of that, last time you were here, it was a bit of controversy. Remember? Do you remember this?
I don't.
Okay, well, there's a little bit of controversy. And, you know, I think everyone was getting kind of excited. Cecil was here. People were getting crazy. You were kind of going off on some people. And then later you kind of said, hey, you know, we need to... We've told this story a million times on here because it's...
Oh, have you
it's,
really?
Yeah, it's thrilling. And because you were kind of like, hey, you know, I think maybe I cut that out. There was like some contract negotiations going on. I think you were still with Al on the fan.
All right.
And you were like, hey, can you trim that out? So we trimmed out some stuff. So
I appreciate it.
If you don't want to relive it, it's fine. But
I'm going to leave it alone only because, you know, that one's probably... That one's probably left better unsaid. I know what you're talking about.
That's fine. Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up. But I said, hey, we only provide the medium. It's up to you to not get yourself
in trouble. I think what I could say about that is, man, when I was first doing this a long time ago, and you guys are so great to have me on, I appreciate it. I was kind of, you know, aggressive and angry and trying to find my way in this whole business and where I fit. And it you know, I had been on the air. I was on KBPI for 5 years, and I had been doing part-time news talk on KOA 760 and KHOW. So it's not like I wasn't in the market, but it was as if when I first started doing sports talk, like I came from nowhere, even though I had been in the market for 10 years almost before I started really doing full-time stuff at the fan. So to me, it was just kind of like, hey, man, I've been here for a decade, but it's as if I moved in yesterday, and that's how I was treated by some people.
And
so I had to get my – listen, I'll tell you this. You got to have a lot of confidence to do this, especially when you're really not sure what you're doing in the beginning. But I found you could go to these games, you could go to the practices, you could, you know, ask questions, and that's what I did. But I still had my feathers up a little bit in the beginning, no doubt about it.
I was going to say, when I brought that up, is that kind of how you felt, like, you know, oh, once I get these people coming after me, I gotta hit them back because this is how you do it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was very aggressive. I'm definitely a more mellow D-Mac on that one. I've become this crazy, you know, elder statesman of sports talk, which is so crazy that it's there. And I, you know, have felt that very recently, and it's been overwhelming.
How has it been for you to see how fans have rallied around you?
It's been unbelievable. I wouldn't have guessed it. The response has been overwhelming. Overwhelming. So I really appreciate it. And I give the credit to social media and digital platforms for making that access. I've done things to help myself. Like, I got to be the only person to give his phone number out on the radio. There's no way anybody else has ever done that. And I've got tons of messages that way and through all sorts of social media. It's been unbelievable. I'm incredibly humbled by it and very, very grateful. And most importantly, motivated because of it too.
Now that you're kind of in the podcast space and making your own content, which I've been enjoying, as I've mentioned to you,
appreciate the
length of the Killing You With True show
at
15 to 20 minutes
is
absolutely perfect for a short commute.
Yep.
And the content you're putting on Instagram is absolutely great with Chad Brown.
Nate Jackson, too. Don't forget about
Nate Jackson. Guy. How freeing are you finding it to be now that you know, sometimes you're kind of... you get in a rut and you don't realize what your own potential is until you get outside that paradigm.
Well, I totally agree with you. I still love radio, okay? I'll always love radio. I'm a radio guy. It's what I always wanted to do. It's what I'll always be. However, I'd be a fool not to explore all the spaces of the spoken word format, period. And yeah, it's incredibly freeing. I love it. I like to have conversations like people normally have. So if you say shit or fuck every once in a while, it's not like I want to have the shit fuck show. But if
this
it,
is
if
the
it,
shit fuck show.
Okay, but sorry. But if it comes,
we already have that.
I think we have a new title. Yeah.
If it comes up in conversation, because this is just how
it's
people
normal.
Talk. Well, this is how especially, I talk.
Especially sports. People talking about sports, they're going to say shit and fuck.
I mean, it happens. You know, absolutely. And I want to though stay away from. I think some of the stuff, like, listen, to be misogynistic is wrong, okay? To, of course, be racist is, of course, wrong. And to have conversations that sort of straddle that line, I'm not interested in anymore. And maybe I was back in the day, not in the racism thing, but, of course, you know, especially with the misogynistic thing. I've just grown up in that department. But if you're just talking about, like, oh, my God, can the Broncos get their fucking shit together? You know, that, to me, is just a conversation people normally would have, but you can't have that on the radio. That's
no,
for
absolutely
sure.
Not.
So you have constraints there.
And that's what I was going to ask you. What are you looking forward to most doing it this in this medium?
Well, I look forward to having a balance of both. I'm certainly intending to get back into the radio space, and I think I'm going to have an opportunity to do so. And I'm looking forward to that. That being said, I think it's smart for everybody in the radio space to also explore other forms of expression if they want to. And I certainly intend on doing that as well. And I think more radio and broadcast companies are more open to it. And you can see that with Shannon Sharp or with Stephen A. Smith.
Look at
or
Pat McAfee,
Colin Colin Cowherd. I mean, who doesn't explore
as
this space
as soon
as, well?
As Monday Night Football is over, Colin Cowherd has a guest and they do 45 minutes.
I mean, I think it's brilliant. And I think it's great for the audience. I think the space for spoken word is stronger than ever. You just got to find it. And I think there's content providers out there that are so talented. I think you guys are an amazing case. You guys are on this. I don't even know what gave you guys the idea to do it. But it's remarkable what you guys have done in this space. And you guys have become your own sort of legendary force out there. I'm maybe that embarrasses
clip,
you guys
clip,
to hear.
Clip that out. I'm gonna get to my wife so I can say, see?
Listen, well, I mean,
see, listen.
Look at it. Look at the influence you guys have had, especially amongst the traditional media. It's been beyond impressive.
That was a thing a few years ago.
Well, I know that the Broncos were kind of like uneasy whenever Colin started opening his mouth. They'd get a little kind of like, hey, what's this guy saying now? You know. So,
well, and that's what the lack of access allowed me.
The lack of access is strong too, but I'm just in a different vein. I do like being that fly on the wall. My father was a writer. If you didn't know this story, he moved the whole family from Massachusetts to Steamboat Springs in 1977, the year the Broncos first went to the Super Bowl. So I spent third grade in Mrs. Stanko's class out there in Steamboat because my dad was writing a book and wanted to get it published. And back in the day, you had to get it published by a major publisher. You just couldn't do it on your own. It's 1977. His hero was Hunter Thompson. So I grew up being a huge Hunter Thompson fan with Gonzo Journalism. So I've always envisioned myself to a certain degree of being the Gonzo Journalist of sports. And that's my sort of my guiding light. So I got to have access to do that. If I can't be that fly on the wall, to me, I got to be there as Hunter Thompson was on the plane with the reporters during the Nixon election. So you got to sort of be there to sort of witness things. So I do have to do certain things to have access that you guys don't have to worry about. But for what I want to do, I do need that access.
Right when you said that, I first thought of Stephen King and I thought, oh, his dad's pulling a Shining. He's going out to Colorado to write a book and keep the family in a
snowbound
hotel.
Well, my dad, why did
hotel?
We go to Steamboat? Yeah. Steamboat tonight, it's not that way now.
That's
now
not even anywhere where Hunter Thompson lived.
I know. I told my dad that. I said, why didn't we go to Aspen?
Yeah.
Why didn't you buy like a small house in Aspen in 1977? You probably could have afforded it in 1977.
Would be worth a fortune now.
That's right. It's like, you wanted to be Hunter Thompson. Why didn't we go to the Woody Creek Tavern so we could actually hang out with Hunter Thompson?
Exactly.
Speaking of taverns.
Yes. We hit it hard. We have to get to our other special guest tonight before he has to go. So, Colin, take it away.
I'd like to introduce everybody to Johnny from Cochina Tacos. Although, when he threw out the first pitch at the Rockies game, he asked them to refer to him as Cochino Tacos. But new sponsor on board with the FanCast. And, man, do we have a spread in front of us now. Frozen Palomas, delicious, delicious margaritas. We've got Shaggy-style tacos here, which I've talked about on the FanCast before. Chips and salsa. And just great tacos. Three locations. Edgewater Marketplace, Old Town Arvada, down in Inglewood. Johnny, thank you for coming in. Thank you for bringing libations.
It's my pleasure to be here. It's great to meet D-Mac.
It's great to meet you.
I'm wearing khaki pants just for
you. Well, then you're stupid. You have a stupid quarterback philosophy.
You've got a front row seat to a great show. So,
I've known Colin for a long time, and we've been talking about this, and it's great to feed you guys. We also have the funky chicken tacos.
Nice.
And then the campechanos. They're delicious. And Steamboat's a great place.
It is.
Linda and I have a place up there. It's amazing.
Place I haven't seen. But,
but you know what?
There you go.
It's her money. It's not mine.
Okay.
It's great.
You haven't sold that many tacos.
I'm the lucky. I haven't sold that many tacos yet. I have not. But I actually just started advertising on The Fan. And when I did that, everybody got fired. So
keep advertising,
my friend. It's my fault.
I am here to officially tell you to continue to advertise.
Yeah, he's saying just keep going with it.
Keep going. Good people.
I've been listening to you for a long time.
I appreciate
it. I'm a big fan guy.
Well, right on.
And I'm sorry you're gone, but it's
he's not gone. He's right here.
Well,
he's
no, from The Fan, but yeah, he's got some good things going. It's great to hear.
There'll be other announcements soon. But I'm happy to be here, and I am doing the podcast. I'm doing it in a different form than you guys, and very much on purpose.
And I like that form.
Good, because I'm happy to get into that if you want. But, man, it's so nice to meet you, and I wish you best of luck. Three locations, is that right?
Three locations. Edgewater's the newest one. We have the NFL ticket at each location. We're doing $5 frozens when the Avs play.
A lot of people coming down to watch Coach Prime down there, from what I understand.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward. We're going to record a show at Edgewater
weeks. That way you get food right out of the window, right to the table.
Well, you're a smart guy to sponsor these dudes.
My brother lives up the street. I'm going to have him come down and fucking go nuts.
Yeah, it's west side.
What would be going nuts? What does that mean?
Sit in a corner and
like puke all over the bar.
Done that.
Eat like 20 tacos. Why would he be going nuts?
His version of going nuts is probably just sit there and get stinking drunk and not say a word. So
there you go.
It's good. Hey, let's take a first break. And we got plenty to get to with old Darren here. And we will be.
That's who I am now?
No, I mean, old Darren. OL apostrophe. Oh, not old like Colin. Like you said, Colin looked old. Not like that.
Colin looks great. Colin looks really good.
He does look really good.
He's my man.
I call him a skinny bitch now.
Yeah, he is.
He drinks skinny margaritas. Cochino.
Well, we'll be back with the skinny bitch right after this. DB Cooper out with the moolah. I let her get her outfit just to cool her off. She said niggas ain't about shit. I wonder if she meant it. I doubt it. The way it be in her mouth, she can't live without it. And can't live with this. Handle your business. Villainous, stay on a scandalous whole shit list. One pack of cookies, please, Mr. Hooper. It's fun smacking rookies. He is the Super. Look like a black Wookiee when he let his beard grow. Weirdo, brown skin, it always kept his hair low. Rumors has it, it's a S-curl accident. Doom was always known to keep the best girls' backs bent. Some say it's the eyes, some say the accent.
The return of the South Stand's Denver FanCast is fueled by Cochino Taco, with locations in Old Town Arvada, Edgewater Marketplace, and on South Downing in Inglewood. Featuring mouth-watering Mexico City-style street tacos, unbelievable appetizers, burritos, enchiladas, and the famous queso burger topped with American cheese, poblano chili, jalapeno crema, and delectable melty queso. Let's not forget the best margaritas in town and happy hour from 11 to 6 every single day. Tell them the South Stand sent you and ask for your crunchy beef tacos, Shaggy style. You'll thank us. It's the questions, boy. It's the questions. It's the questions. Come on. The questions. It's the questions, boy. It's the questions. Is it really true that in some cities they play baseball in October? Should the Rockies host a terrifying Halloween event by giving patrons a midnight tour of the neighborhood around the ballpark? Wouldn't that be intense?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Should the Broncos permanently be relegated to Thursday night football? Was last week's game the Thursdayest Thursday game that ever fucking Thursdayed? Was it so goddamn Thursday, in fact, that only the great Taylor Swift could have made it worth watching?
She is fantastic.
Will the Queen be in Denver on the 29th?
Mm.
Did the NFL schedule makers decide that the Broncos fans deserved a Sunday off? Doesn't Dean Spanos have enough money to buy the Chargers some fucking fans?
Wow.
Since Denver got snubbed by the WNBA, will we just have to settle for mud wrestling?
Is that final? We didn't know.
Yeah, Portland got it.
Okay, all right.
Since D-Mac left, has his old station suffered a dramatic drop in the Lycra spandex-wearing males over 50 demo? You have questions. We have answers. SouthStandsDenver.com, Colorado's finest internet sports talk since 1971.
Am I saluting something?
My favorite German soft porn soundtrack.
Soft porn. A lot of innuendo.
It is that, by the way.
That is one of the most ridiculous things you've played in quite some time. It
felt like a game show.
Yeah.
It does feel like a game show.
Little 60s.
And I'm not kidding. This is
oh, wow. Okay.
1970s right. German soft porn.
Yeah, you weren't lying. Yeah.
Schmuldukin. Oh, I love Schmuldukin.
Yeah. Yes.
It's good stuff.
Schoolgirl.
By the way, this is show 300. I don't know if you guys know.
Really?
Show 300.
Damn.
Now, even after taking a long break, we still hit 300.
That is crazy. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's great having you here. And there's people commenting. I can see it barely. And one of the things they said is they expressed that they did not think that your former station was quite as good after you left. And I know you don't want to necessarily comment on that,
but
I'm sure a lot of people probably, you know, they're like, well, what do I do now? It's good that you're doing your new thing so they can find you there. One of the criticisms I think before was that it was only Broncos. They only covered the Broncos and they wouldn't cover anything else. But you have really embraced the Avalanche and the Nuggets. You're always at the Avalanche games and you're always updating. And I appreciate those updates. Sometimes they're faster than what I'm watching through some illegal stream.
Oh, is that right?
So when you say there's a goal, I'm like,
is that right? Really?
Yeah. A lot of times.
Oh, that's
yeah.
too funny. Like, I didn't know
shit.
That.
I'm like, okay, well, I guess there's a goal coming. Cool.
Oh, that's too funny. Okay. Wow. That is slow then. Well, if I'm at the game though. Right. Because I'm at
you're
the game.
At the game. And so,
oh, okay.
And so right, I'm right. getting it not on altitude. Now look, I respect billionaires. You guys know this, right? I would never use like an illegal feed. But let's just say there's something that's going through a couple filters, and by the time it hits me, it's probably about 25 seconds off.
God, these fucking Shaggy style tacos are so good.
Are they good?
They're good.
Hey, but even like the legal streams, like DirecTV and so forth, it lags by a good.
Oh, it does. It does. If you've got
30 seconds,
if you have DirecTV on a dish versus DirecTV stream, which I have, it's about 30 seconds difference.
I gotta admit,
my buddy will text me.
I gotta admit, I just got Fubo, and that was the end of that. Was it seriously? And I know it's expensive and the whole thing, and we just sucked it up because my wife is such a gargantuan hockey fan. My wife, we're a hockey family.
Yeah.
My son played all the way up till he was in through Bantams, and, you know, it's just, we're a hockey family. We've been at every rink in the state in terms of youth hockey. Played at Pepsi Center back in the day for a state championship when he was like 13 or 14, something like that. We love hockey, so we just got it, and I get it. You know, maybe that sounds like but I have Comcast too. Like, I'm a super idiot. Me and Vic Lombardi are the same super idiots. We talk about that all the time. We have Comcast and we have Fubo. So I just had to watch the games.
And it's kind of your job. It's like a tool. Is. It's like having a wrench if you're a mechanic.
It is. Yes. And I was done with all. I am officially done with it. I got Fubo. I'm moving. I'll just whatever. I got to see the games, and I'll just let all that stuff settle itself out. It's just way beyond my pay grade.
Well, now that we brought it up, I want to talk about that. The Phoenix Suns owner took all their games and put them on regular TV, right? He put them on over-the-air television.
Yeah.
And so basically said, because they were, I think, having the same fight down there. And he
Well, a lot of teams have had this fight. It's not, it's teams. Go ahead.
So he just basically like put them on what would be like Channel 20 here in Denver. And he just said, you got an antenna, you can watch Phoenix Suns games. And they can still sell advertising. I've talked to people at Altitude and I was kind of like, why aren't they doing that? And they're kind of like, I don't know. They could still do that here. They could put it on regular TV. They could sell ads to it. Those guys would be on every TV in the city.
It's way above my pay grade. And I have no idea. If you asked me about going to the games and stuff. A couple years ago, I just realized, you know, I started out doing that. When I was 19 years old, I worked for, believe it or not, I worked on a morning show. It was the Fat Man and Lois. I was the producer, and the sports guy was Mike Tirico. Wow. This is back in Syracuse back in the
day.
How about that one for
Brush him? With greatness.
Yeah. So Mike and I have known each other for, since 1990, something like that. And he was a little bit older than me. He was at Syracuse, though, at the same time. And so I just started doing that. I started covering games because I was on campus, and it was a classic rock station. So they were out in the suburbs somewhere, and none of the people out there wanted to actually go to the hill, Syracuse. And I was living there anyway. So I just said, well, I can do this for you if you get me a credential. So it wasn't through the college radio station. I started covering Syracuse football and basketball when I was like a junior in college for a professional classic rock station. Well, my voice is going way up. And anyways, so that's how I started sports when I was 19, 20, 21 years old doing that. So to go back to it, and I did do that when I first got here to town, by the way. I did. But it hadn't been for a while. So I was at a lot of Nuggets games with Melo. I was at all sorts of Avs games back with Joe and Forsberg. And back then, they just went into a rut. Let's face it. The Nuggets and Avs went into a terrible rut. And at the same time, the Broncos went, I mean, it was insane with Tebow and then Manning and all that sort of stuff. We shouldn't have given away our position completely, though. And that was a mistake. So when I was told, listen, we got to get back into this, I was like, okay, I've done this before. I know how to do it again. And I started doing it casually. Like I told my wife, I'm not going to go to games on the weekend and this, that. Guys, I fell back in love with it.
You enjoy it.
I didn't enjoy it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I love being amongst a lot of the young journalists, the folks from DNVR, the folks like Ryan Blackburn with the Nuggets, the folks like, there's a million. I feel bad leaving guys out. But like I'm the oldest guy in the room.
Sure.
By a mile, except Terry Fry's there every now and then. It makes me feel good.
Terry Fry's older than dirt.
Right, so. Right. But most are young. Peter Baugh and Jesse Montano and just like, God, I love these folks. Love them. And I call the journalists the Muggles. And the Muggles are in Harry Potter, the other people. No, not everybody can be a wizard, right?
Yep.
And the other people are the Muggles. I am not a Harry Potter guy, but somebody told me that. And boy, does that fit journalists or what? Just the Muggles around the superstars, just the other people. And I freaking love the Muggles. And if there's a bigger Muggle crew than you guys, I have no idea what it would be. You're the under Muggles,
so,
which is fantastic.
What was it, the Nuggets that really brought in the young journalists first? The bloggers, if you will?
Well, I don't know. That's a good...
I think it was hockey.
Because if you think about what the Denver Stiffs guys, right? You know the Denver Stiffs guys?
Yeah.
Jeff Morton. You know Jeff Morton?
I don't know Jeff Morton. I don't.
So those
Andrew Feinstein,
all those guys. So they were one of the first kind of bloggers that got credentials and were kind of invited in.
Yeah.
The Avalanche were not too keen on that at first, and I think they changed over the years. But you're right. I think once that happened, all the kind of young guys came in, and they're all this new blood kind of filling.
Well, I dare anybody to know more about hockey than Megan that covers the Avalanche for DNVR.
Yeah, she's great. She's really good. I can't think of her last name.
I'm going to screw it up. Angley, something.
I start following her. She's really good.
She is tremendous, and she goes deep because she knows everything about the Eagles as well. So she's on top of everything. It is incredibly impressive. So a lot of times when I'm amongst those folks, I just stand back because I know what I know and I know what I don't know. So I know when to just keep my fucking mouth shut and just let the people who really know this stuff sort of direct it. I think the bigger story.
Hockey attracts those people, I think, more than any other sport. The people who have proprietary knowledge that the rest of us could never hope to
have. They are so passionate.
Oh, so passionate.
Oh, my God. And so I'm telling you, I pay a lot of attention to it. on the Kill You With Truth podcast, we're going to have a reaction to the Avalanche game against the Kraken tonight.
Oh, they're playing right now.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, not yet. No, it doesn't go till 8:30.
Sorry.
On ESPN.
West Coast.
We got plenty of time. My point is, my respect. See, you got to get out of the norm for just, you know, the traditional journalism and just really understand that these people who feel the most passionate about it are oftentimes the most knowledgeable. And so I think they looked at me with like a side eye when I started showing up for stuff. Like, well, okay, what's this going on? Are you really going to be there?
Yeah, yeah.
But when it's a Tuesday night in February, an hour after the Grizzlies game, and I'm still there in February, you know, you're earning some credential with everybody. But it wasn't it was more or less selfish on my part because my kids are out of the house, so they're not around. So I have that advantage.
Sure.
And my wife is the greatest woman on God's green earth. I love my wife so much, and she's patient with me to allow me to do this. And so
I think we all have that in common.
Yeah.
I think
so. She wasn't so patient to allow me to do this. This took some explaining.
I understand.
This took a little like, you know.
It usually does. I have to explain it.
Right.
I have to explain it to get out of the house.
But I just said, no, they're legends. I got to do it. It's, you know, the blah, 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 blah. So I love it. I love covering the Nuggets and Avalanche. And boy, oh boy, are they a great teams, both of them to cover.
But I think where a lot of people older school journalists, probably older school than you are, were like, kind of like, who are these fucking young kids, and didn't embrace them. Seems like you've kind of gotten on board with them.
Totally.
And been like, hey, I'll learn from you. Shit, you can learn from me. And it works out, right?
In your time covering Denver sports,
yeah,
who has been your favorite single athlete to cover?
Nikola Jokic by a mile. I don't even have to think about it.
Nice.
It's not even close. I can go on and on and on. Why? If you want, I can
please,
give you a brief.
Please, we'll take all the Jokic-isms.
He is first of all, he's incredibly intelligent. He is incredibly dedicated to what he does. He plays, that's a whole game that he doesn't care. He doesn't pay attention. That is a bunch of crap. He absolutely pays attention. He's the smartest athlete in his sport I've ever covered, with a tremendous sense of humor. And trust me, during the pandemic sort of ish time, right, where we were still kind of
the bubble
like that. Yeah. But we were covering it when they were still, it was a little odd.
Yeah, yeah.
He would take questions because they would do Zoom questions from all over the world, which was really cool. They don't do that now. I wish they kind of would bring that back. To see him go from one language to another is mind-blowing. I mean, we just take it for granted that you can speak English until you see somebody who can speak another language like that, with a sense of humor and all that. The fact that he can make jokes and understand what jokes are in English, to me, blows me away. The degree that he is a unselfish, incredible teammate is like nothing I have ever seen in my life. It is so unbelievably genuine. And his dedication to his family, his brothers, his home country is off the charts. And he takes a long time after press conference. So the way the Avalanche do it, the game's over, you better sprint to the locker room, and they'll keep the three or four, you know, players that need to talk. They'll keep you in front, because the Avs have two locker rooms. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
No.
They have one where they just take off their basic clothes, and then they have another showering area that I've never seen before.
No one's allowed in there.
No one's allowed back there. The Nuggets just have one locker room, and the Broncos is a total shit show, but they're going to change that relatively soon. But for the Nuggets, you got to wait. And then they bring Jokic up to you. Well, he stretches, he works out, he eats. He takes a long time sometimes to come around. But I would never, as long as I knew he was coming, I would never, ever leave early. If it's an hour, hour and a half, I don't care. He's that interesting to listen to always.
That's fascinating.
Are you guys Jokic fans?
Awesome. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure. It's fantastic.
Number two, by the way, is Peyton Manning, because he's funny and smart. And I love the fact that he's funny and smart.
It helps because, you know, you think like, you know, most of these guys, especially football players, are kind of big dummies, and he is not a big dummy. He is a very smart dude.
I don't think Denver will understand what we had in Nikola Jokic until he's gone.
I was there with him yesterday at the practice, and he's the only athlete I get a little nervous around because I can appreciate how good he really is. And I've been in front of Nikola countless of times.
How was that scrimmage you went to?
The preseason game?
Yeah.
They look dominant. They are unbelievable. And Julian Strother, watch out. Know that name.
Yeah.
I mean, he is going to be unbelievable. He was just a little rusty in summer league. He is going to be incredible. He's going to be a... He may be the most valuable guy in the second unit push comes to shove once the season gets going, maybe 30, 40 games into it.
And so, how old a guy is he? Like,
Julius Strother, he's a little bit older. 18? No, well, no. He's one of these guys. They got three guys that spent time in college, Strother, Pickett, and Hunter Tyson. All of them spent more time. I think all of them are older than Christian Brown.
I was gonna, one of the questions I had asked, and you answered it, was about his Jokic's is kind of thing about, oh, I don't really care, whatever like that. You answered that, but he's still really into horses though, and he'd rather be fucking racing horses.
He
right?
has so one of my favorite moments, without a doubt, of my career, is because I was around the team for so much for 2 years. I knew he would have no fucking clue when the parade was.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
they win the championship, and I had asked him after the Lakers sweep, how do you feel? And he said, I don't really feel, it's not what I thought I would feel. So I asked him two questions, but one very much on purpose. One was, well, how do you feel compared to how you felt against the Lakers? And are you excited, or, you know, what do you think about the parade? But I asked that question on purpose specifically because I knew he would have no idea when the parade was.
Sure.
And I knew because they won on a Monday. And I knew the parade was on a Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
Always is.
So that was your question. That
was my question.
That's awesome.
If my voice is on that question,
that's fantastic.
And he went, oh. And he goes, oh, I need to go home. And yes. that response got millions of views. And then at the parade.
Oh, I was standing
that's
right there.
The best part.
He goes, I say I don't want to stay on parade. I fucking want to stay
fucking,
on
I want to fucking stay on parade.
That happened.
Yeah.
Because I asked him that question.
That's awesome. Cool. That's
and,
awesome.
And then the views, to me, guys, I swear to God, I don't get like fanboy on a lot of stuff. The fact that I am even slightly connected to that moment in Nuggets history, to me, is one of the greatest achievements of my career.
That's
because
fantastic.
That question was brief, but it was asked based on going to games, knowing who he was, knowing what he wouldn't know. And there were a lot of other questions before that question because it was the pass the mic around sort of thing. So a lot of people could have asked him that sort of thing. I'm proud that I got to. I anticipated he would have an interesting response, but I didn't know it would blow up like that. And when he said, I want to fucking stay on parade, oh my God.
It was the highlight of the day, along with Michael Malone turning into an 18-year-old.
It was great.
Before our very eyes. Like, I had this impression of Mike Malone being kind of a nerd, kind of buttoned
up. Oh, really?
Then there he is at the parade with
really?
The chains.
Oh, no. He's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah, he's kind of like a Grateful Dead guy.
Yeah, you thought he was a nerd?
I thought he was real buttoned down. Like a real buttoned down cat.
Oh, my God.
I never got that impression. No, he seems pretty cool.
By the way, I knew because people were saying, oh, like Jared Bednar. Jared, happy drunk Bednar is the best version of Bednar.
Sure.
But he's a more humble sort of guy. I knew Malone wasn't going to be like Bednar. Bednar was a career minor leaguer who had won as a player in the minors and as a coach on two different levels in the minors, but never had played in the NHL. So being on that stage winning a cup meant more, and he had to work harder than anybody on that stage to have that moment. Malone was a little bit different. And that is so sad about his dad, by the way. I feel awful for Coach about his dad passing away. That's... Me and Michael Malone are very similar in age. We are. I still have my dad. I don't know about you guys.
I lost mine last September.
Were you destroyed?
No. No, because he suffered. Because he suffered for so long. I mean, it was really, we were glad.
Okay. Well, my dad is healthy. He's 80. He'll be 87 in December, and I will be destroyed when he passes away. I don't care how old he is. That he's one of my best friends. He is my best friend. And I'm sorry that your dad had to suffer. That sucks. And I'm not sure what went into Brendan Malone passing away. But I feel bad for the coach. But the coach has got a cockiness and arrogance that I love about Michael Malone. And so it did not surprise me at all that he was like, dynasty and holding the chain and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And he ran the parade. He ran, like, what was happening. Bednar just sat off to the side. He was hammered. He was having a great time. He was crying. You know, he's just a different dude. He's a great dude. Two unbelievable coaches that we have here.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky, yeah. I think. So.
And that brings up a quick subject, and we can talk about this in the next quarter because we got to wrap this quarter up. But I want to talk about team ownership in the Denver market, the Kroenkes versus everybody else. We can get into that.
No. We'll get into it. And I just wanted to, you know.
Wait. What?
We could keep going all night, really. I mean, you know, we got enough bandwidth, right? No, we got to take a quick break. Let's take a quick break. We'll get into the second half and a little bit of sports right after this.
Sportique is where scooters come from and has been for 25 years. And now, Sportique is the place for e-bikes. E-bikes from ScootStar. D-Mac loves this part.
Oh, my God. I can't genuine, wait to talk about this.
Genuine scooter company. Wait. And the Jackrabbit, the 20-mile-per-hour, 20-pound mini machine that fits comfortably in the trunk of your car. So, Turn to Sportique for all your scooter needs, parts, service, accessories, and apparel, and be sure to blast right by D-Mac while he's on his ride. And now, e-bikes. Visit SportiqueScooters.com or visit their expansive showroom at 160 South Broadway in the shadow of downtown Denver. Sportique, where scooters come from.
Figured that out. Sports. I can't wait to get into the e-bike whenever you want, but oh my God.
Let's talk about it. Actually,
I can give you 30 seconds on it.
Yeah, let's rail on e-bikes first.
First of all, e-bikes are awesome, and I'm a big fan, and I think it's great for the environment.
But they're not bikes.
Not only are they not bikes, but you realize when you're on Bike Pass, you're on a motorcycle, yes. Not a bike, okay? And I do love e-bikes, but it is not a bicycle. And the fact that they have the same clearance on bike paths in parks as real bicycles blows me away.
It's like you're riding a moped.
It's a moped, okay? Yes. When you're going uphill and you're not pedaling at all. And nobody is regulating this shit anywhere.
Oh, no, they're giving them away. The city is buying them for you.
I know there's regulations about where you're supposed to. No, do people understand nobody is paying attention to any of those regulations?
No. I see it happen in Wash Park all the time.
I went hiking in Waterton Canyon, which is a very mellow trail. You just walk for like 3-4 miles.
Been there several times.
And there was people on fucking e-bikes, and they were riding really fast. My problem is, so if you're a really good bike rider, you've been riding bikes for a long time, so if you're going super fast, you are in control of that bike, you know what you're doing. But some dickhead e-bike is going super fast, they don't have the same skills,
and then there's the fuckers running through stoplights, running through stop signs, just completely ignoring all of the traffic laws. Listen, your responsibility if you're on an e-bike or a road bike, either way, is to make sure that you are observing what's around you and practicing.
I come up to this woman. I forget even what part of town I was in.
Riding on the sidewalk, you fuckers.
I'm riding my bike a lot, guys. And when the sun goes down, and this time of year depresses me a little bit. Because
I've seen you in your Lycra.
Okay, I appreciate it. Come up on this woman.
Great ass, by the way.
Thank you, pal. This woman has like a 6-year-old daughter on the back of her e-bike with like groceries on the back. And I come up to them, and I'm on my bicycle. And I look down at the 6-year-old and I go, you know you're on a motorcycle right now. And sure enough, the light turns green away. This woman rockets away.
At least she stopped for the light.
I want to get an e-bike. Because my wife isn't as aggressive as a rider as I am. So it's one way my wife and I can ride together. But sure, what the fuck is going on?
It is the wild, wild west.
Do people understand how unregulated it really is out there?
And it's just an extension of what's
going on. They're mopeds.
It's an extension of what's going on with the Lime scooters. They are fucking everywhere.
Nothing satisfies me more than blowing past some asshole on a Lime scooter on the Cherry Creek Trail. It gives me the greatest joy of my life. They are everywhere, and they shouldn't be down there either.
No.
In my opinion.
There are a lot of places they shouldn't be. It's e-waste.
It's kind of like how everything's gone. It's basically like, yeah, go ahead. We don't care. We got other problems. And then everything just is kind of just whatever. And it's just,
it is whatever in this department. And listen, I hope you make – I know how popular I have friends in the biking industry. I get it. I don't know how you guys are doing. It's funny that you're even selling them here, because in the biking industry, I think it's making up 50% of their inventory and their sales these days.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing.
It's funny because you're on the other end. You're like coming down. They're going up. It's funny to meet in the middle.
This is well, first of all, the city
Sportique is. Sportique scooters, everybody. Yeah, come buy some e-bikes.
First of all, the city is fucking me hard, royally. The city and the state.
Why?
By buying people e-bikes.
They're, why?
You oh, buying up, people e-bikes.
You can get up to a $1,200 rebate through the state or the city.
Really?
So my 50cc scooter sales, which is my lifeblood, has been for 25 fucking years,
right,
out the fucking window. Because if you're thinking about buying one of those or one of these, so if you can't beat them,
have you guys,
right?
Have you guys had Vic Lombardi on here?
Yeah. A long time ago.
Oh, you got to have him back.
At Scott's house.
You know, he's a big Vespa rider.
No, like, he's not a big Vespa rider. He doesn't even know what kind of Vespa he has.
He was riding it this past weekend.
Hey, look, just because he's Italian doesn't mean he's riding Vespas.
He was riding a Vespa last weekend.
He's got a Vespa LX150. It's red. I'm well aware, yeah.
Okay. What do you back up?
And it's never been here for service, mind you. He's probably got bald tires, hasn't changed the fucking oil. Vic, if you're listening, and I know you are. Get your bike down.
Oh, I got some things to talk to Vic about. Trust me.
Oh, plan.
Yeah. Has he not been here for?
Not here.
Never.
Well, Vic's amazing.
It was years ago, and we did it at Scott's house.
Have you asked him recently?
Not recently. No.
Why, well, just ask him.
Oh, he'll do it.
He'll do it. He's unbelievable.
I got some beef with Vic. I want
to
get him in.
Bring it up to him.
Boy. I want to bring. Oh, I'll bring
he
it
would.
Up to
he
him.
Would. He would. He's. You know,
Vic was always
Northside. Yo, be
Vic,
careful.
Vic was always super nice to us. He took time to come. We talked to him one day. It was great. I'd be open for him to come back.
You
for
definitely
sure.
should invite Vic here. Vic's amazing.
We'll
okay, so Walter Piener. Right. Walter Piener.
We're gonna get into the Pieners in the fourth quarter. Don't worry.
Okay.
So listen, I wanted to say real quick was. Kind of piggybacking off what we talked about in the end of the second. The Avalanche are playing the Seattle Kraken tonight. The Seattle Kraken bounced the Avalanche out of the playoffs. They it wasn't supposed to happen, but the Kraken bounced them out. If the Avalanche had spent the whole offseason going, those guys suck. They're talking shit. Wouldn't that look real lame? Doesn't that remind you of somebody that maybe got swept out of the playoffs and then...
The team that's going to be around Tuesday?
The team that's going to be on Tuesday. Yeah. Isn't that... I understand it's sports. You got to talk a lot of shit. But the fact that the Lakers sat and stewed about getting bounced out of the playoffs, doesn't that speak more about them than it does the Nuggets?
There's zero doubt about it. The Avalanche didn't spend 1 second. About the Kraken were the team that lost. The Avs lost to a team who lost to a team that lost to a team that won the championship. And nobody even remembers that the Knights actually won, but okay, they did.
Nope.
The Avs have made some serious adjustments to that roster. And we can go into it if you want, but they've gotten bigger, their depth is great, and they're healthy. I expect huge things. It's not a bummer that they lost to the Kraken. It's not. It felt like that at Game 7, but it really wasn't because they needed the break. They did.
They were beat up.
They were beat up. They were burned out. You know, the Val stuff obviously was terrible. It just wasn't their year. They didn't have the right personnel. They were way too small. And, you know, they've replaced, like, Evan Rodriguez with, like, Ryan Johansson, who is huge.
Yeah.
You'll love this guy if you haven't taken a look at him. He looks like a plumber. He has the most un-hockey-like body you'd ever see in the world, but he's a big physical presence. And Olsson, who's on the fourth line center, he's a bigger dude. They have bigger guys just top to bottom. Everything. And I do wonder if the team is going to kind of evolve without Gabriel Landeskog. We'll see how that
goes.
They're
going to have to, right?
They are now. They weren't ready for that last year. They were holding out hope he would come back at some point, but it wasn't going to happen. And that hurt him. That hurt him a lot that they were saving a spot for Gabe, unfortunately.
So what was the last city to have a basketball and hockey championship in the same year? I know it's happened.
Well, I look at the Celtics, the Bruins. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Miami had both in the championship last year and lost both of them.
Denver's got to be unique in that department. I don't know who's had same year or back-to-back.
Because it could happen. This could
realistically
happen.
Well, I think it's going to happen for the Nuggets. I don't know what is actually going to stop them.
You think, hockey, you hockey's think they're going to? You think they're no problem getting back to it?
I think they're going
to
win 53 games without thinking about it, and may win 58 by accident.
Yeah,
I think that's. I think they're going to be the number one seed in the West, and I think they're going to face Milwaukee with Dame Lillard in the championship. And then, you know, we'll see how it goes. But they have the best starting five in the league. Their depth is crazy this year. I don't know exactly who's going to step up for Bruce Brown. Like, his intangibles were, like, you can't even measure them. And Jeff Green was a good role locker room guy, but his presence on the court was mitigated by
age. He was actually pretty bad last year.
You know, he had moments.
Sure.
He had moments. But they're not... The Bruce Brown replacement is right. more concerning, but Julian Strother can shoot the ball, fellas. And so, and they're older rookies. They're older rookies as well. I don't know where Reggie Jackson's really going to fit. I think they like him. Holiday may be a great... Good. See, we're talking about the second unit here. We're going deep into the Nuggets.
But yeah,
Kyle's not even paying attention.
No, he's not. But that this is his forte, too. That Nuggets run... was dominant, right? Like
unbelievable.
We haven't seen anything like it.
Historic.
And all you heard, and this is the whole thing. This is the problem with social media. This is the problem with fans having a voice now. All you heard was like, it's illegitimate, blah blah blah. And you have
really?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like asshole Laker fans like complaining. And then the thing is then all of a sudden then the Nuggets fans have to get into it with them. And you're like, oh, you're just giving these guys fuel. You should just ignore them. But yeah, it was very much like, this is not.
They were just looking for a reason, for illegitimacy. And that reason was 8 seed, 5 seed, 7 seed, 8 seed.
Well, you realize that one seed always plays like an 8 or 7
right.
seed.
That's right. How it goes, right? But right. That was a dominant run. They fucking smoked everybody,
yeah,
and
awesome.
they hit their stride right at the right time. And I just can't see how. No, I'm sorry. I was gonna say I can't see how anyone could not see that. But it's like sports fans are kind of dickheads, right?
So yeah.
they're kind of dickheads, and they will shit on you if they can.
Well, it's funny. I was talking to Adam Morris from DNVR, and we're like, well, we always got to complain about something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the nature of sports fans. We Absolutely. Always got to be worried about something. We got to be concerned about something. You know, the Nuggets were 12-11 after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Oh, woe is me. They know. Jamal Murray was rolling his eyes at a reporter because he was asking about minutes or whatever. And he was like, well, yeah, my numbers went up in the playoffs because now I'm playing 40 minutes a game, not 32 to 35. It's like, sometimes we're fucking stupid as fans.
Sure.
And they know more than we do. They really do.
And they started off on the road, like, predominantly last year.
They're going to cruise. The Nuggets are, they'll drop a couple of stupid games like they did to the Rockets last year. That'll happen. But essentially, they're going to smoke through this season. It's going to look easy.
Switching back to the Avs.
Sure.
Are they destined for a finals
appearance? It's so hard with hockey because they almost got fucking goalied against San Jose.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And, I mean, it's 51-22 shots on net, and it goes down to
Cale
Makar getting a six-man advantage because they have an empty net with 1:21 to go, and Mikko hitting a fucking overtime, you know, shootout goal.
Crazy shootout goal.
That happens in hockey, but I mean, listen, you outshoot your opponent 51-22.
Yeah.
You're winning by 4 or 5 goals.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, if they do that tonight against Seattle, they'll win easily. They are so healthy and so talented.
How do you feel about the goaltending?
I feel great about Georgiev. And backup goaltending is, we'll see. Frankie's on LTIR, so we don't know when, you know, we'll see. Anonin, we'll see. And I don't even know this new, what's his name?
Petrichor-Kov. Yeah, he's from
I don't know anything about him. They've had a great road trip, by the way. Do you know what they've done on their road trip? They went to LA.
Well, it's only 2 games. So.
Well, it's 3 games. It's 3 games. It's LA, San Jose, and Seattle. But they've had a lot of time between the games.
Yeah. Which that's scheduling we've talked about.
This NHL schedule.
We play fantasy hockey. It's fucking impossible.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't know.
Oh yeah, I play a
lot.
But
let me tell you, I've talked to every single player, every single coach loves the start of this season because they're not. It's not 3 games in 5 nights. It's 3 games over 8 nights.
Spaced out,
and they can hang out, get some good dinners, play golf. I mean, whatever. Yep. And they're enjoying this. This is a great way. Not a good way. A great way to start the season. And then their home opener is against Chicago. And that'll be fun with Bedard out there. And
I drafted Connor Bedard.
I know you did. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, you did.
He's going to get like 40 points.
It was pretty exciting. It was pretty exciting.
He's going to play 40 points?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do.
The over-under is around like 68, 69.
Is it really that
so,
much?
Yeah, yeah. So
I've heard his name mentioned along with that of Wayne Gretzky.
Well, of course. Everybody's heard that hype. Yeah. But he's an 18-year-old. He looks so young, man. He's not that young. Big of a dude.
He's having a fucking blast.
He's very fast. Good for him. He's very. You can see he's different out there. It's interesting. But
it'll be fun to watch him on Thursday night when they open up.
No, I mean, but you know, we were complaining about the schedule. Before tonight, the Dallas Stars and the Islanders, I think, have only played once this whole time. Everybody else has played like 2-3 times.
Fucking NHL.
That's a bit. It's a bit.
Yeah, because then you get in that weird 5-7 night bullshit that you know. You got to suffer through. Let's hope for good health for the Avalanche this year. So that was brutal.
I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if you guys do either. Does the NBA get preferential treatment in the stadiums when they're sharing stadiums?
Mm-mm. Well, there's not a lot of teams that do it. There's
NHL games cost more.
You're talking schedule.
They're scheduled like they're scheduling wise. Because if their schedules are all messed up, the NBA doesn't.
No, the NBA is super screwed up too. The scheduling for both leagues could use to take out 10 games. Frankly, sure. You know?
And baseball could use to take out 20.
They
could take out like half of them.
I don't know. I mean, baseball's kind of okay. What's your beef with baseball?
Just so it's such a grind.
It starts too early. And ends
got,
too late.
You've got the World Series in November. The World Series should not be in November.
No. It should be done by the end of October.
If there was half the
it
games,
is that. What are you talking about? It's not going to drift into November.
Well,
is
I'm just thinking of when the Cubs played and it was like snowing.
One year
and it sucked. Yeah, it was
oh
awful.
My God, calm down.
Jesus Christ. They could shave it off. Well, listen, I have some Rockies stuff to talk about.
The year that the Rockies, the last time they were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they had won one more game, it would have been like 18 degrees.
Why are you
snowing.
Going to the Rockies in the playoffs 2018?
Well,
what are you talking about? They were in the playoffs in 2018.
Yeah, that was it.
I was at the very first.
The very next
World
game would have been
World Series
snowing.
Game
oh, you're going
at Coors Field, and it was cold as shit
in 2007.
It was very cold.
We were at a game where we were like in like.
That was opening day.
Opening day.
Yeah, that was really.
Yeah,
cool.
That's fucking.
We met Mosier there.
Yeah,
we met Mosier there.
I say up yours to all you guys.
Like
you don't know what it's like to suffer in February at the University of Northern Colorado at the Jack when you're playing South Dakota State and your kid is a bench warmer retrieving baseballs and you're sitting there for a doubleheader. So fuck you.
Right.
I'll tell you suffering watching baseball.
But hey, so if baseball had half the games, and just hear me out. Wouldn't the games mean so much more?
Half the games.
Half is a little extreme.
Like half the games.
Really? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Okay.
You really don't know.
But if they had, wouldn't the games mean more?
No.
I just feel like
no.
So listen.
If the Rockies only had 100 games, then they wouldn't lose.
They couldn't
100
lose
games.
Them all,
right? That's the thing.
True. Hey, the Diamondbacks lost 111 games, and they did all right.
They already won the World Series. So,
Charlie Montin, Dick Monfort doesn't run the Diamondbacks.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll get into
Are we
fourth.
Done?
We're, no,
no,
we're
no.
We
got the third quarter.
Yeah, that's the third quarter. Yeah. We've got the fourth quarter, and I got plenty more notes, Colin.
Dude,
I know
so many.
We're almost to an hour, but we have to go. We only have DMAC here.
That's
so
it.
Often.
Coming back in another 10 years.
Yeah, we 10 years from now, maybe we'll have him back. So, but let's take a quick
when
break.
I get fired again.
We'll be right back.
Epic Western Premium Tequila Canned Cocktails are the genuine article. They're made with 100% blue agave tequila from a small artisan distillery in the highlands of Jalisco, Mexico. Not with a bunch of malt liquor and sugar like other canned cocktails. That's why Epic Cocktails are crisp, clean, and delicious. Choose from Ranch Water, Chisparita, La Paloma, or Brush Fire, their spicy take on a skinny margarita. Each delicious 12-ounce cocktail contains zero sugar and only 5 grams of carbohydrates. Made in Mexico, 8% alcohol by volume, made with real blue agave tequila. That's Epic Western, the genuine
article.
God always has the music that I'm feeling this, right? I'm already feeling this.
I love it.
I think that's the Paloma.
It could be that, too.
I love that, too.
Which I was going to say, Johnny from Cucino.
Yeah, why'd he leave?
His wife was making sea bass.
Yeah, he had to go home.
Oh, I would go home for sea bass, too.
Would you just bail out of here?
She can make sea bass. She made it tomorrow.
Isn't sea bass a made-up name? Like, it's not really what it is.
It's a bass from the sea. But this is really good, but I stopped drinking it because I already felt like getting...
Oh, dude, they're boozy AF.
Yeah, they're great. I'm trying to figure out how I can get it home.
Yeah, in your glove box.
Careful. Drive slow.
In your son's glove box.
Yeah, take it in your Uber. How about that? How about that for some adult advice?
I'm fine. I just knew if I drank any more of it, I would.
Speaking of having to Uber home, I saw the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. You can see my Swiftie bracelet right here.
This is so
I met my hot friend Lauren, our friend LA baby, 35 years old and just as hot as she has ever was. At 28, and we met at Dave and Buster's on Saturday night, and
seems like the appropriate place to go before any Taylor Swift.
It was great. It was commercially packaged and ready. Yeah,
this like the creepy part of your show?
Yes, thank you. Oh no, there's nothing creepy. There is nothing creepy about it at all. I had the best time. She went to Target and bought friendship bracelet kits, and we each made like six friendship bracelets at Dave and Buster's.
Not weird.
It's not weird. And then we went to the show and we danced our fool heads off, and all the young girls wanted to trade bracelets with me. Okay, that's creepy.
Not creepy. But
it was so much fun, dude. I had the time of my fucking life. I mean, it was the best time I've had since we went to the last concert together. So so much fun. Such a great movie. If you're thinking about it, if you're on the fence, fucking go. Greatest pop star of our generation.
Hey, who's on the fucking fence? No one's on the fence.
What advice are you giving to?
No one's on the fence.
Is there some sort of 47-year-old in Lakewood that doesn't want to go to his daughter's favorite concert?
I was like, hey, D-Mac, I was really on the fence about this Taylor Swift thing.
Yeah, go.
Should I go?
Yeah, well, you know, go now. You wouldn't go before, but no, go now.
See it in IMAX, trust me.
Wow.
Dude, it was amazing. It was amazing.
You better go to that movie. Let me tell you something. You better go to that movie with somebody. Do not go by yourself. No. You're not allowed to go by yourself
In a raincoat. not a good idea. So we're leaving, right? We're leaving. We're walking down down the aisle, and everybody in the place is high fiving each other because all these
high fiving each other.
High fiving.
Like they did something
because we all been dancing, having a great time.
I spent money.
Yeah, way to go.
High fiving each other, and I went to give this one guy five, and he was my age, maybe a little younger.
Yeah,
a little bit younger, and he goes, no. I'm like, you're not going to give me five?
No, I don't.
You're not going to give me five? He goes, no, you're a fake fan.
What?
Wow.
I know. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Fake fan. Fuck you.
Wow.
You got the
fake fan.
And Lauren goes, we hate that guy. And I was like, yeah, we hate that guy.
Wow.
Meet me outside, fake fan.
You got fake fanned at the Taylor
Swift
show.
You know what he got? Dang. You know what he got?
What?
He got bad blood.
Oh, that's right. We do have bad blood.
You got bad blood there.
Yep.
If that's a Taylor Swift reference, I don't know. I have no idea. Listen.
Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes, motherfucker.
Listen, I don't watch. I watch Red Zone. So I don't.
I don't
hear the announcers making these dumb references.
Yeah, okay. That's why Sunday Night Football was so great, because. Sunday night. I love Sunday Night Football because I've been watching Red Zone all day, and I've drank 12 cups of coffee, and it's just like nonstop action. I'm super amped. I'm watching five fantasy leagues and my guillotine league, and then it all just comes down. Yeah. It all just comes
one
down.
One game. It's hard. It's a come down.
Yeah. It's kind of nice though. You kind of relax.
Yeah. To get off Scott Hansen is you need a second.
The announcers are good. Boy, the Thursday night announcers on Amazon.
Oh, it's like people are apparently trying.
No, it's Herb Street and Al Michaels.
I know,
great.
But are they? Okay.
I think they're great.
Listen, before we get...
Herb Street was a baseball D-Mac, guy, right?
Before we... no, he's a college football guy, I think. He was mainly college football. Before, usually in the fourth quarter, we bring it all home with some Broncos. Before the Broncos, okay. I want to ask you about this. This is kind of a recurring theme since we've been back. Is the transplant fan ruining Denver sports?
No. Not like it.
Come on.
Not
look,
like it is LA
now, hold
sports.
On, hold on. Silly, you're from Massachusetts by way of Steamboat.
It's 24 years here in Colorado.
My point is when the Broncos are good, all the kids go to school and everyone's talking Broncos, whatever. The Broncos have been terrible for a while. You got this whole generation of kids who are like, Broncos, the Broncos are fucking awful. I would never root for the Broncos. So you miss this generation of fans. The Nuggets and Avalanche haven't been on TV. You've missed this generation of fans to watch it. Nah. Are we losing out because all these people have come here and now their kids...
Did you go to the parade?
No, I don't go to the parade.
Oh, really? No, well, there were 750,000 people at the parade. You think those people are missing out? They didn't get the message? Point. I mean, I was there. I've been there for... Listen, man, I've been for every parade they've had. I've been there for 2001 parade. I've been there for not the second Super Bowl in 99, but I was there in 2015. I was there for the Az, there for the Nuggets. No, I get it. I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But that's like fan fiction.
I think
people are
ruined,
catching up.
It has ruined the Rockies. The Rockies game experience is ruined.
Guys,
that's
ridiculous too.
No.
The most crowded I've ever seen Lodo was in Rocktober in 2007.
That was a long fucking time ago.
You think it wouldn't be like that if they were back in that
situation? But they're never gonna get back there because of how awful they are.
The Denver's situation will never be as bad as there are two teams that come to mind. Las Vegas Raiders, they're fucked. Sure. And
Why are they fucked?
When the Packers play there, it's 60% Packers.
So what? Play there.
Have you been to a Knights game in Vegas?
The Raiders.
You got to go.
I
man.
Said
they are. They are unbelievable. And by the way,
the Aces packed that.
Okay, I can't believe Tampa Bay is a hockey town, and I'm not fucking lying about that. That is crazy. One of the best hockey bars in America is at Hattricks. You guys would love it. Right down the street from Amelia Arena, whatever it's called, okay? The Knights game, you got to go if you
but
haven't
that's
gone.
Not
I'm going.
The Raiders.
I'm going in November.
In the NFL, the Raiders are fucked and the Chargers are fucked.
They're not fucked.
The Chargers are fucked.
You're ridiculous. That stadium, Allegiant Stadium, is unbelievable.
Yes, it's unbelievable, but everybody who wants to watch their team play goes there and nobody gives a flying fuck.
When the Giants are playing, it's three quarters Giants fans.
What do you guys care? Why do you guys care?
Well, I'm just saying it's the same thing where you get all these fans from other places coming to your stadium and you can't quite get a home
D-Mac,
field advantage.
It's called the South Stands Denver Fan Cast.
Right,
we're here to talk
right,
about
right.
the fan experience.
I'm not right, no, listen, right, listen. Right, I'm not right. saying this is happening to the Broncos. All
it's
contrary.
About to.
It's on the right
half. It's
gonna
not
happen.
Even close.
Listen.
Not even close.
Sunday?
Not even
look
close.
At all the green and gold this year. I spoke to two separate people from Green Bay who are so stoked that they can get
so
such
the smallest,
cheap tickets
the
right
smallest
now.
Media market in the NFL is what going to dominate the Broncos fans. There's going to be like 10,000 maybe Packers fans. It's going to be overwhelmed by Broncos fans. The weather's going to be good. People have season tickets. This is the biggest fallacy in Bronco land. Like the fans don't show up. The fans don't show up for non-conference bullshit games when the team's out of it. Okay? So if you're playing the St. Louis Rams, like I was at that game with Josh McDaniels, and there really were 30,000 empty seats. That was bad. Okay, I get
it. Pat Bowlen would have had an aneurysm.
If what?
If he saw 30,000 empty seats.
Well, he was still the owner at the time.
He was still there,
He was still there at the time, so I don't know.
Well, he had already had an aneurysm by that point.
He probably wasn't too with it. But the point remains that if they're bad and you've got people pouring in, Raiders fans, Packers
Raiders
fans
are the last game of the year.
Well, I'm just saying that I think...
Wait, that's in Vegas, too, is it? That's in Vegas.
It ultimately... it does damage to the fan.
You know
base.
Who you should be angry at?
Who?
Is the fans that keep showing up. Because they do show up. You're screaming.
In the Rockies? The Rockies, absolutely.
You guys are throwing spears at windmills right now, like Don Quixote. Well, you're upset about something that doesn't actually happen.
Let me bring this back around to the conversation I tried to bring up earlier, but John wouldn't let me.
All right.
Team ownership. So the Cronkies.
Oh, yeah. It's the Broncos quarter. We're ready
so
to go.
Here we go. Yeah.
By the way, do you guys like Greg Penner?
No!
Why not?
Because
because
he's a spoiled billionaire. Asshole. Listen,
spoiled billionaire. So he graduated from Georgetown. He got his MBA. Oh,
well, there we go.
Well, I don't know. Did he? He's climbed like all the mountains in America and in the world, like Mount Everest. Why is he spoiled? Because he's rich.
I'm tired.
Wait, don't you like billionaires?
No, I respect billionaires.
Right.
We love billionaires.
No. Here's my
problem. By the way, Greg Penner's a good dude.
Here's
guys.
My problem.
He's a rental.
I've got no problem.
I thought that too, but I'm sure
he's fine. If you met him, I'm sure he'd be all right. I just think they're kind of like they're kind of like absentee owners. They show up when they have to have a photo
he's
shoot.
He's been here way more than I thought he was going to be.
When Mike Kliss is ready to write a puff piece on him, he's there front and center, right? So that's my thing. And I think that if he just said, everybody fuck off, I'm going to take control of this, and he said, I'm going to be, that's the problem we've said all along. There's no actual owner.
Well, he just announced himself the controlling owner.
Yeah, that happened. That really happened.
He's the guy.
And he put his four kids as an ownership stake. And I thought they were going to close their tents in about 10 years because I didn't think they would have the nads to actually build a new stadium.
They're building a stadium.
Well, I do believe so now, and I'll admit I was wrong about that. Because look what ownership has done. Look what the Commanders sold for, okay? And they were terrible. The Broncos could probably, in 7-8 years, get $20 billion for the Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
But I actually don't think they're going to do that now. I did think they were going to do it. But because he put his four kids as part of the ownership stake, he took controlling interest. It gives more... we should be excited about
no,
that.
No, we shouldn't. It's going to fuck downtown.
Hold on.
You need billionaires to own your team.
Are they the type of people that they're going to throw money at it till the problem's solved?
Yes, yeah. They're the wealthiest owners in the NFL. Yeah.
But will they throw money at
yes,
it till it's
they
solved?
Already have proved it. They spent money to send a bunch of, you want to talk about entitlement, they sent a bunch of engineering students at School of Mines on bus trips down to Texas to watch their team get throttled in a national championship game. They didn't have to do that. And by the way, I'll give you some insight. Information. They were ready to spend more money on that, and they got talked out of it. Like, hey, that's a little bit too much. They're gonna fly everybody down there. No, they've got money for. Listen, man.
I know they
want,
got money.
You want a billionaire in
what
charge?
What I don't
of your team.
Want is the is Mile High Stadium moving out to fucking DIA.
You're one of those guys.
Yes.
We're those
I
guys.
Want my sports in the fucking city. I want my sports in the city.
Oh,
and I'm tired
Lord.
Of rentals. I'm tired of rental
Have you ever been outside of Colorado to go to a sporting event?
I don't care. Okay. I live in Colorado.
All right.
I'm tired of rental QBs. I'm tired of rental coaches.
You've never been to another stadium. You've never seen another facility. You've never seen what it looks like on the outside.
I want to draft and develop, and I want
now I know. Now I know.
The core.
Hey, isn't that a great thing about Denver sports? So there's very few cities that have all four sports in the actual
don't,
city.
By the way, don't fucking worry about it. They're not going anywhere for like a decade easy. Stop sweating about it.
The stadium is not going anywhere.
The stadium's not going anywhere. And neither – here's what they're going to do out at Dove Valley. They're going to extend the training facility, the field house, because the locker room is terrible. Have you guys ever been inside the locker room at Dove Valley?
No.
It's small. And there's nowhere to expand to because they're trapped by a street on the other side. So it's a very narrow overall building. They're going – that hill – that the fans are on, they're going to get rid of that. They're going to put covering over it so it's not a sweatshop. They're going to expand the players' locker room as part of the field house to make that a real sort of deal. So they're going to expand everything sort of out, you know, sort of that way, not towards the prison, like the other way. And they own the parking lots in the back too. So they actually have quite a room to expand near the field house. And that's where they're going to do. It's going to be better for the fans. Boy, I sound like a shill for a billionaire now.
but this
is what they're going to do. So you can hate on it if you want, but they're going to commit to that area, which they did throw $9 million at when they bought the land.
Who owns the land the stadium sits on?
That's a great. It's like there's that weird commission, that Denver Sports Commission sort
so
of
if,
deal.
If and
but
when
the ownership owns like a lot of the parking lots. That's the Pat Bowlen stuff. Have you guys looked into that?
No.
Oh, you haven't. You don't know the parking lot story with Pat Bowlen and his mistress?
Oh,
really?
I've heard something about this.
Pray tell.
Well, I mean, you know Pat Bowlen had a love child, Alexandra, that Nikki Javala wrote all about, right?
Yeah.
Nikki tended to break these kind of stories and be involved in them.
Well, yeah, I've worked a lot with Nikki on a lot of those stories, by the way. So, anyways. Pat. All right, I should stop there. I'm like, there's a lot of funny, juicy stories out there.
Pat's no longer with us. You can say.
I'll leave it alone. Listen, but the fact is, it's a weird sort of
that
ownership.
Real estate is probably the most valuable real estate in the entire
city. Yeah,
it's
a weird deal. Like they own. That's a good question.
Residential towers there would crush, and they're moving Eliches and building residential towers across the highway.
They are, and I think the Nuggets and Avs, the Cronkies, are going to expand out towards the parking lot area for their new facility for hockey and basketball and have their own
and
facility.
And they're staying
out there.
They're definitely staying there.
Why would they move?
No.
Why would they leave?
Yeah,
what they're going to do, though, is expand in the parking lot area. And flat parking lots are stupid. You should build up. I know you don't travel and you don't go anywhere, but if you went out to where the Atlanta Braves were, you would understand how you do shit. But you don't because you don't leave Colorado, so you scream and piss
when
in the wind.
When I go to Europe.
Or he goes to Lincoln, Nebraska. He goes to Lincoln usually.
All right, so we'll wrap it up there.
My whole thing is, you are saying that these people are going to spend their way out of this fucking shithole.
They're good. I call it Welcome to Wrexham. Have you guys watched Welcome to Wrexham?
Yes.
It's great. Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
They bought a team they know nothing about in Wales, and they just were like, "Well, how would it fix it?" We'll just spend money. So we're just like, fucking hell, I'm just going to spend a lot of money. And they fixed it. And they got promotion, and they're in a different division. And they just fixed everything with money. So I think, which is the smartest, this is why you should love these owners. They have the money to throw at problems. How do you think you're going to fix a lot of this shit?
Money.
Right. Yeah. So how are you not happy?
But here, wait, stop.
Because I want one owner. I want one owner.
You have one owner, Greg Penner.
So here's
the
deal.
You do have one owner.
Do you remember?
Greg, he's a good dude.
And this might have been before your time. Right. When Pat Bowlen showed up in the fur coat and everybody went, "Oh my God, rich asshole." Ooh. And then he had to kind of like tone it down. They need their moment with that. They need their moment where they can win the fans over, because all it looks like is just a rich ass.
You know, he might have shown up with a fur coat, but it might have been a rental. Pat Bowlen never had the cash. They were always struggling with cash. Always. You realize how much money he had to borrow from his brothers, sisters, his mom? I mean, it was ridiculous.
To get the team.
Yes, to get the team. And he was paying back his brother, John, at the end of the day. And he's the one that joined Beth Bowlen in the lawsuit. And listen, it was gnarly with what was going on. But, you know, they sold it off.
You covered the shit out of that.
I did.
I got to give you credit, because nobody else in this market was talking about that fight but you.
And it was crazy, because, like, how didn't everybody not figure this out? Like, how did everybody not? It was so obvious to me that this was going to be a big issue. I was shocked that more people weren't sort of on this thing from the get-go.
Yeah, it's a crazy story.
Well, I mean, you just got to look at the family dynamics and realize there's two sisters from a first mother, Sally Parker, who lives in Hawaii. There's five children from Annabelle Bowlen after that. There's a love child, Alexandra, and I'll give you the craziest story, and Nikki wrote about this, so this is not a secret, but Alexandra is the love child. Do you know Brittany Bowlen's middle name is Alexandra, and she was born after Alexandra was born?
Oh, wow.
That was written about. That is not a new story, just not many people have picked up on it.
This sounds like going to Taylor Swift movie type weirdness.
It is Games of Thrones to the nth degree. And frankly, fellas, in all honesty, it's great that we're through it. It's over.
Yes.
And seriously, I don't understand why you don't like the current ownership.
Well, I didn't want the Bowlen kids to take over.
Well,
that's
okay,
for sure,
so, all right, fine.
I don't know. I want one big badass guy like Stan Kroenke to come strolling out with his...
Stan is a badass. You don't think Greg Penner's a badass?
No.
Not really, no.
He's got $46 billion in his bankroll with his family. They're the wealthiest owners in the NFL.
I respect billionaires.
You don't think he's a badass?
I love him.
The guy has climbed Mount Everest and, like, all the peaks in the world. He's a pretty fucking badass.
Listen, I'm... I'm.
How badass do you need to be? Do you need to stab somebody in the neck?
I'm willing
to shiv.
I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to change. But that's what I'm saying.
I mean, what do you define as a badass?
No. Listen, when the Broncos played in London, and they were in the pub, and they were all kind of like they were like drinking water. I want to see him fucking knocking back pints in that fucking pub. That's what I want to see. Come on, D-Mac. You know what
the
I mean.
The dude is a fucking badass, guys. I mean,
I'm convinced. You convinced me.
Yeah, man. I don't know what else you want out of your billionaire badasses.
Real quick. How many more seasons is Russell Wilson going to be?
He's done.
He's done after this season?
He has to be. And the problem. Well, all right. We got 2 weeks left of Russell Wilson. We got 2 weeks left.
Really?
Yeah, because the trade deadline is so early in the NFL. It's October 31st.
But they're not trading it.
Circle that date, by the way.
October 31st?
It's Halloween.
Okay. October 31st. Circle that.
Oh, yeah. I'm interested.
Okay. That, you have to make your mind up where you're going by the trade deadline if you're rebuilding or not.
Mm-hmm. So, they're rebuilding.
Okay, fine. If you're rebuilding, you're certainly not rebuilding with Russell Wilson, right?
No. Caleb Williams.
Well, Drake May. We'll and you got to look at like Mock Draft Database. That's a great website. MockDraftDatabase.com. Unbelievable. It's an aggregate. So it takes a lot of mock drafts and puts them together. The Broncos right now are third. The Bears had the first two picks, believe it or not.
Yeah. Carolinas.
Right. That's right. Smart guy there. So they got 1 and 2. The Broncos are 3. Most of the mock drafts, percentage-wise, have them taking Drake May, which I'm fine with. Drake May is a really good quarterback. He's right up there with Caleb Williams. We're fine. You can't choose when you suck, okay? So this bullshit about not taking a quarterback in the top 5 or top 10 has got to end. They screwed up in 2018 taking Chubb over Allen or Lamar Jackson.
And not hiring Kyle Shanahan. We could have Kyle Shanahan coaching Josh
and
Allen.
I know Fields looks terrible, but you made a mistake not taking either Mac Jones or Fields. But dude,
I trust Fields.
Okay, fine. And I call it AIS, assumed incompetence syndrome, when you assume that you pick somebody and everything else follows the same as it happens. No, had you picked Fields or had you picked Allen, you would have picked coaches and players that would have surrounded them. You would have a different philosophy, sure. But you were stuck in this Elway philosophy, which was burned by Paxton Lynch. It really was. And there's tremendous irony there because Elway picked Paxton Lynch, Gary Kubiak like Trevor Siemian. Look at that draft, 83. Elway was picked high. Kubiak was picked in the 7th round. It was one of the weirdest psychological conundrums of all time when Kubiak did not play Paxton Lynch against the Raiders when they were up 24-0, and instead John Elway did not get his first round guy played. To this day, I can't believe that Elway and Kubiak are friends after that moment, but it's one of the weirder stories in Broncos history.
I think they should, after Peyton Manning retired, I always thought they should have let Osweiler take his lumps.
Well, no doubt about it, but why did they offer him a contract?
He was out of there, right?
They insulted him. And they had so much time to offer Brock a contract. Why have him on the team for 4 years if you're not going to continue on with him? But Elway really was weird with the purse strings. It was almost like it was Elway's money, not Pat Bowlen's. I never understood it.
Osweiler had the build. He had the body. He had the arm.
And if you didn't believe in him, just get rid of him after a couple years and bring somebody else in. They kept him for 4 years to what? Get rid of him? It was a tremendous mistake. And the fact that they drafted Lynch and were burned by it stopped Elway from taking a chance on Allen when you needed to. It was right there.
He was like 90 miles away.
I was at the pro day. Elway wasn't. Kubiak was with an assistant. I'll never forget that moment. And I get it. Pro days are set up to succeed, but you should have been there. I mean, it was...
Was badass.
Dude, it was unbelievable.
Where do we go from here? How long...
To rebuild, and this is painful.
How long is it going to take?
3 years.
3 years.
It sucks.
Okay.
And the first year is really going to suck.
Let me tell you.
The first year is going to be like the Panthers are this year, unfortunately, because you're going to have like fucking $87 million or whatever on the cap hit that you just got to suck up and lose and try to get another first-round pick. That's why just trading for Justin Fields makes no sense, because he's in the fourth year of his contract and you have to offer him a new contract. You don't get the benefit of a rookie quarterback as you would in 2024. You got to take a quarterback in 2024. You got to dump Russell Wilson unless... for some miraculous reason, things turn around in the next 2 weeks. And that's why you have 2 weeks left of Russell Wilson. And if it doesn't work after these 2 weeks, there is no doubt that you have to move forward with a first-round quarterback.
So are they trading Russ in that scenario?
Not trading him. He has no trade value.
Yeah, well,
he has zero trade value.
That's right. Okay.
You got to cut him.
It's a massive
Kathy, he's kind of a clown.
It's gonna suck in 2024. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, you're
staring
gonna
be the worst.
It's gonna be the worst Broncos season ever. That's why I think they keep Stidham, who's already under contract, and let him be a punching bag for like 12 games, and then get your rookie in for the last 5 games or so.
The last thing I wanted to bring up before we get out of here,
are we done?
Is how amazing it is that the Amazon Thursday night broadcast, when they're advertising a product, if you're on an Amazon Fire Stick, as I am, you click the center button. Let's say there's an add-on for Tide Pods.
Talk to me about it.
An add-on for Tide Pods.
Yeah.
It says, click the center button and order yourself some
fucking
Tide Pods.
I did not even notice
that.
I got the same thing.
It's amazing.
Holy shit.
It is so fucking sick. That is the ultimate culmination of marketing and sports I've ever seen. There's an add-on for State Farm. Click the center button.
Yeah.
You're going to get a quote tomorrow.
Paul Macaluso.
But
my guy.
That is. I ordered butt plugs.
And wow. You got them.
They were there the next
day.
What just
happened? On your porch the next morning.
And in my butt after that.
You got the Prime then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Prime. Yeah.
Next morning butt plugs in your ass by noon. That is.
I'm still trying to keep a job at some point.
Sorry. We're at the end of the show, and it's going to get real loose. So,
not as loose as your stools after those butt plugs.
All right.
So, thank you, Amazon.
You're making it easier for me to leave.
Let's keep DMAC employed. And just keep him on track, we'll try.
All right. Don't make me regret being here.
Yeah, exactly. I think it already happened. DMAC, yeah. Darren, thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
We could have kept going for like another 2 hours and just yelled at each other, and it would have been fucking fantastic.
I can't believe I turned you around on billionaires.
He did. He loves billionaires.
He did. Yeah.
He respects billionaires.
Chipped away. Chipped away.
It's good.
Nuggets pickaxe. Chip.
Nuggets are going to be so good. Are you guys going? Is anybody going opening night?
Scott is.
Are you?
Yeah.
How about the
season ticket holder over here?
Do the Lakers have to sit on the court, or do they have to go to the locker room?
They aren't coming out for that.
I don't think so.
They ain't coming out.
I can't imagine LeBron like dealing
there?
With that.
It's going to be so great.
It's going to be awesome.
The Nuggets may lose.
Oh, yeah, they might lose, for sure.
No, they're not going to lose.
They might, because this is LeBron's Super Bowl.
Do you guys,
he's got to win.
Do you guys know what happened? I'll give you a little trivia here.
All right.
What happened the first game of last year for the Nuggets?
They got crushed by Utah last year.
Oh, good memory. Yeah. Wow. You remember that. Good on you.
They lost by like 28 or something. It was
that's
awful.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, the Nuggets.
They'll win on opening night.
By the time they got into the playoffs, and then once they got past, was Phoenix before or after the Lakers? Phoenix was after the Lakers, right?
Before.
No, it was before.
I said
before.
Once they
Timberwolves.
Got, once
Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards swinging chairs at helpless security guards.
Oh, that's right. I said once they got past Phoenix, I said it's on. And that was the first time I had believed, and I did not believe before that. But at that point, I was like, it's on if they can get through that series. And it was on. So
we're going to have a second parade in June.
Oh, it's awesome. I hope we got two parades.
Oh, my God.
The Avalanche. Oh, wouldn't that be fantastic? The Avalanche would be like the week before, and then the Nuggets would be after. It'd be fucking awesome.
Oh, my God.
Hockey is so unpredictable, though.
It is very unpredictable. It's hard to bet on because you're like, oh.
I don't know how you bet on hockey.
Well, I do, and I was like.
How do you do on that?
Well, okay. I mean, like the other night, I was like, the Avalanche are going to smoke San Jose.
They should have.
And I was like, oh, my God, what's going on here?
It's usually a goal and a half, right?
Yeah, like the Avalanche would be like minus 1.5, right?
Right,
you know, you bet 1.5, and it was like, oh, no, this isn't going to work out. So,
no.
Very unpredictable. Darren, tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, the quickest area is just go to Twitter, I suppose, at Denver. Oh, what am I? I'm DMAC Sports Co.
Yeah.
I had to change that. So it's DMAC Sports Co. And from there, we're on YouTube and Kill You With Truth, if you want to just look it up. And it's on Spotify and Apple and yada, yada, yada,
and
all those
Instagram.
Places. Yes, and Instagram and Facebook and everywhere. And yeah, I'm just. You guys are my inspiration. You guys have been doing this forever. You guys do it the right way. I barely know what I'm doing, but I'm happy to be exploring this space.
It's awesome.
I have done it a bit differently than you guys.
Oh, good.
Because I'm more short form, more quick on it with like 15-minute twice a day podcasts, and then 5-minute reacts. Although I love this format, I'm still staying in the more radio sort of way of doing things. Yeah.
No,
but this format is fantastic too.
No, it's great. You can sit and shoot the shit with people for, you know, an hour and a half like we've done, and it's great. It turns out well. So no, we're glad you're back at it. We're glad you're thriving. We're happy that you're staying with us, and we hope nothing but success in the future. So.
Yeah, cool, man. It's great to be here.
Awesome. This has been great, guys. Fantastic show. They just keep getting better. Uh-oh. Colin's a little
Who you got next week? Who's gonna
I'm working on Adam Morris.
What?
Oh, Adam's great.
I always say I'm like, oh, the loser has got to follow this up. It's really
fun. Adam's not going to be nearly as good, but he's a tall dude. He's taller than you.
He's real tall. He's a big guy. So, this is great. D-Mac, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Until next time, everybody. South Stands Denver Fancast. Adios.